Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
If we neglect to spiritually build ourselves up, things don't remain neutral. If we neglect to build ourselves up spiritually, sin is going to start to resurface and it's going to start to take over our lives again. That's what happens. It's a constant battle. We have to constantly be fighting against the natural tendencies towards sin.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19, in a message titled, Exhort One Another. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And those of us who disagree with that, we just need to get on board. We need to realize that we have been misinterpreting the Bible for 2,000 years, that every previous generation got it wrong. They thought the Bible was saying that these kinds of relationships were prohibited by God, but no, that's not what the Bible's saying, they say. They don't believe that God is prohibiting this kind of a lifestyle. You see, this is where unbelief will take you to. It'll take you to denying the obvious. It'll take you to rejecting the plain statements of Scripture because it doesn't fit with your lifestyle. It doesn't fit with your worldview. It doesn't fit with what you want to see or do. And the final step in this process is a departing from the living God. So the deceitfulness of sin, the hardness of the heart, the unbelief, and then it finally leads to a departing from God. You see, in the end, you can't deny God's word and his authority over our life and maintain a relationship with him. It doesn't work that way. Our relationship with God is connected to our obedience to him. And he shows that at the end of the chapter here. So these are the dangers. This is what he's saying to beware of. And you know, the truth of the matter is this. Every one of us have to take heed to this because guess what we all have? We all have an evil heart that is inclined toward unbelief. We all have that. That's the problem. Jeremiah the prophet spoke these words, God speaking through him. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked or incurably sick. Who can know it? The fact of the matter is, and when he says the heart, he's talking about the human heart, not just some people's hearts. He's talking about every single one of us. Our hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked, incurably sick. Who can know it? The point there is that, listen, you are more wicked. I am more wicked than I could ever even know. I don't think I'm as wicked as I really am. I don't think I'm as evil as I am. I think I'm okay. But you see, that's the problem. I don't know the depths of my own depravity, but it goes on to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. You see, this is the truth. We don't know the depth of our own depravity, but there's somebody that does. God does. And of course, that's why he tells us things like guard your heart. With all diligence, guard your heart. That's why there's always these references back to the heart. This is speaking of the core of our person. And because the reality is all of us have these issues of sin deep in our hearts, we all have to be on our guard. We all have to fight against this. This is not just a problem for a few people, a minority. This is an issue for all of us. And of course, as God's people, we have a new heart. We are a new creation. But we have alongside of us the old nature that is constantly warring and fighting and wanting to take control of our lives again. So, how do we prevent this kind of thing from happening? He tells us here he says, exhorting one another. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Listen, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So this is a protective measure that we are given. The protective measure comes through our commitment to one another. Now listen, as a Christian, you cannot survive alone. You can't. God has designed that we be part of his family. We be part of a body. There's a strong individualistic mindset in our culture. You know, it's all about me. I can do what I want. I don't need anybody's help. I can stand on my own two feet. However you want to express it. There's a strong individualism in the culture, and that individualism, it makes its way into the church. And so we become Christians, but we don't think of ourselves as connected to anybody else or dependent on anybody else or responsible for anybody else. We just think in terms of me, and I've got my personal relationship with Jesus, and that's all that matters. And we don't see ourselves as needing one another, but we need each other. That's the point that he's making here. And so he's reminding them that they need to be watching out for each other. We all have these propensities. We all have these inclinations where we can easily be led astray. How do we avoid this? We exhort one another. The word exhort here is the word parakaleo. It's two Greek words together. It means to come alongside of. Parakletos is the words that are used when Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper. It's the same words, basically. So to exhort one another means that we come alongside of one another. We need each other. We come alongside one another. And we help each other. That's the point. Our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's more than we can handle on our own. We need the support of one another. So what does it mean to exhort one another, as he's saying here? Well, let me give you just three things. Number one, it means to pray for each other. It means to pray for each other. But listen, in order to effectively pray for you, or in order for you to effectively pray for me, I have to know a little bit about you, right? We have to have a certain degree of vulnerability with each other. We have to be able to be honest and open with one another. You know, the attitude in churches, and we've had it, of course, in our church as well, it's prevalent, I think, in many churches, is that you come to church and you put on your best smile and you put on your best attitude for the time that you're here, and you pretend like everything's great because, of course, as a Christian, everything's supposed to be great. And you don't want anybody to think that you're not doing great, because that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. I don't know where we ever got that idea. It's not really a biblical idea. When we come together, we're to come together to encourage each other, to help each other. And if we're pretending that everything's great when it's not, we're not really going to be able to help each other. So we have to be vulnerable. We have to be honest. But we have to have an environment where people know that they can be honest, where people are free enough to say, you know, look, I'm struggling with this. Most people don't do that because here's what they think. They think, man, if I tell them I'm struggling with this, they're going to kick me out of here. They're going to tell me, you shouldn't be here if you're struggling with that. That has happened many times over. And that's something that we have to realize. No, that's not the way we deal with each other. When somebody is struggling, when somebody's battling, when somebody is deceived by sin, or maybe their heart's growing hard or whatever, this is the critical time where they need others to be able to speak into their life. They need to be vulnerable, or able to be vulnerable, and say, look, these are my problems. Can you help me? So we pray for each other. We're honest with each other. But again, in order to do that, we have to trust each other, don't we? And we have to see that this is God's way that things are done. Again, we live in a culture, even with church, where you come to church as an individual or with a few friends, you sit in the same place, you get ministered to by the time together, then most of the time we just go off and that's it. Maybe we do that a couple of times a week. But notice he says, exhort one another daily. There's to be a consistent engagement with God's people. Doesn't mean you come to church every day. It means that you connect with God's people consistently and regularly. So there's prayer, number one. Secondly, there's in exhorting one another, we instruct each other. We instruct each other. And of course, the ideal situation is for each of us, we're all getting ministered to on a personal level. You know, maybe it's through a sermon that's being preached. Maybe it's through a podcast that you're listening to. Maybe it's through your personal devotion. God's really speaking something to you. But then what happens, ideally, is as you come together with brothers and sisters, you instruct one another. Hey, let me tell you what God's been speaking to me. Let me share with you what I heard this guy say, and it really spoke to my heart. And as we do that mutually, that exhorts us. That's what he's talking about. That builds us up. That strengthens us. You know, this past week when we were on the East Coast, we had the family together, and a family friend who lives in Philadelphia came to visit for a day and a night. And he's a dear friend, been a friend of the family for many, many years. And he's just in a season where he's going through a hard time. And we all sat together around the table one night and we talked for a few hours. And, you know, this guy's, he's essentially a theologian. He has a PhD in theology and so forth. And, you know, he does Christian counseling as a profession and all of that. And, you know, we're sitting there talking and we're all just chiming in on different things that God's been showing us and speaking into our lives and so forth. And at a certain point, he goes, I'm getting so blessed and so strengthened from this conversation. And I thought, wow, praise the Lord. That's what these conversations are supposed to do. That's what it means. Exhort one another, instruct one another, sharing what God's doing in our lives with each other so we can mutually build each other up. And then the third thing I would say, and we could probably go on with a longer list, but for time's sake, let me say one more thing. In exhorting one another, you know, we need to challenge each other. One of our biggest problems, I think, is the tendency to settle for far less than what God has for us. One of our biggest problems today is to just kind of settle into a comfortable situation. And we need to challenge one another. We need to really, you know, lovingly, graciously, not in a condemning or a judgmental way, but we need to be able to look at each other and say, hey, what are you doing with what God's given you? How are you really serving the Lord? How are you making a contribution to the kingdom of God? Because that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And you know, the fact of the matter is, there are huge opportunities all over the world today. There are multitudes of open doors. There are tremendous needs. Everywhere we look, as some of you know, some of our ministry team, some of our guys have been recently to the Middle East, to Iraq, to places like Turkey. Some have been to Nepal recently. So, you know, every time guys are going out and ministry, they're all coming back with the same report. The doors are open, the opportunities are there, but the same old problem is with us still today. Who are we going to send? Who's going to go? Who's going to do it? And here's so many of us who have the ability, we have the equipment, God's built us up, strengthened us, taught us. We could do things, but we're just sort of complacent. And we think about some of these things and they are challenging because, you know, maybe they're not the nicest places in the world to go to, or maybe they're somewhat dangerous or something like that. But, you know, that never stopped the apostles. Jesus, when he commissioned his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he didn't say, you know, go to the safe places. go to all of the first world countries where everything is nice and cozy and comfy, and you can get your cappuccinos and, you know, everything you need right there. I love cappuccinos. But, you know, sometimes we're not consciously thinking about it, but sometimes those are the things that are under the surface. Those are the things that are keeping us from really engaging, and we need to be challenged. We need to be able to sit across the table from one another with our Bibles open and just say, what are we doing? What are we doing in this time for the kingdom of God? Because there is a great and effective door that's open, but there are many adversaries. Nothing's changed. It's just the way it was in Paul's day. So we need to challenge one another as well as instructing and praying for one another. So this is what it means, among other things, this is what it means when he says, but exhort one another. But again, let me focus on this for a second. He says daily, daily. We have to be committed to this. There has to be a consistency in our lives. Find fellowship with God's people. Get plugged in. Exhort one another, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, what he's saying here is if we neglect this, we will go the way of our evil tendencies. If we neglect to spiritually build ourselves up, things don't remain neutral. If we neglect to build ourselves up spiritually, guess what? Sin is going to start to resurface, and it's going to start to take over our lives again. That's what happens. It's a constant battle. We have to constantly be fighting against the natural tendencies towards sin. And then he says here in verse 14, for we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, the great concern here, as I think I mentioned earlier, the great concern is that these guys, having started, end up not finishing. That's his concern. And so once again, he reminds them, just as he did in verse 6, we are part of his household if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope for him to the end. Now here in verse 14, he's essentially saying the same thing. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. But then he goes back into their ancestors. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? You see, what he's saying is, look, all of our ancestors, they came out of Egypt. They were led by Moses. They followed Moses. But what happened? They didn't make it to the promised land. Something happened. Instead of entering into the fullness of what God had for them, they stopped short, and that entire generation, with the exception of two people. There were 600,000 men that left Egypt over the age of 20, 600,000. You know how many entered the promised land 40 years later? Two. Two entered the promised land. 600,000 perished. They died in the wilderness. Why did they die in the wilderness? Because they disobeyed. You see, God didn't call them only out of Egypt. He called them to go into the promised land. But when they came to the border of the promised land, they said, oh no, we can't go. We're afraid. There's giants in the land. We're not going to be able to make it. Joshua and Caleb, the only faithful ones, they said, what are you talking about? No, God's going to be with us. He's going to give us the victory. And they tried to kill Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron at this point. That was the unbelief in their hearts. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the victory over Egypt and the deliverance. And they had passed through the Red Sea. But now they can't believe God to take them into the promised land. And you see, the primary thing that he's wanting us to understand here is it's not how you begin that's as important. It's how you end. It's how you finish. They all began, but they didn't finish. And why didn't they finish? They didn't finish because of unbelief and disobedience. Notice the last two verses, 18 and 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You know what's interesting? These two words, not obey or disobeyed, and unbelief, they're the same Greek word. One's translated disobey, the other's translated unbelief. Why is that? Because the one word pretty much means the same thing. Because unbelief always will lead you to disobedience. That was their problem. They didn't believe God, and so they didn't obey God. And we must learn from them. That's what he's saying to these guys. And I think it's interesting because he's referring back to the first generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt. These are really the first generation of Hebrews who put their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. This is right there at the beginning. These are, I believe, Jerusalem Jews. And so the parallels are very interesting. He says, look, don't let what happened to your ancestors happen to you. And we're, of course, far removed from that, but we still live with the same dangers. And so we've got to take the same instruction to heart ourselves. We've got to recognize there's all kinds of temptations and things going on all around us all the time that are wanting to pull us away from Christ and back into the world or back into just religion. You know, for them, it wasn't so much they wanted to go become pagans. They just were going to go become religious, a dead religion. And, you know, I think today there are people that are being tempted toward that as well. Well, you know, man, I've heard people say this. You know, I don't like that church over there. They're too hard. You know, they're too demanding in their preaching. I want to go to this church over here. You know, they don't really require anything of you. And there are people that are going to gravitate toward those places where there's no accountability, there's no requirement, there's no belief in the absolute authority of Scripture, or that God is a living God and he's active today in your life. There's no belief in that. And some people are going to depart, in a sense, from the living God to go back to those kinds of things, but may that not be the case with any of us. Having begun, let's finish well. That's the important thing. Not drawing back. And like I said, this is the second of these several warnings in this letter. But as I've said before, as we've been studying Hebrews, you know, what we really need to get a hold of always in fresh ways is we need to get a hold of the glory of Jesus. That Jesus is better than anything. He's better than everything. He's better than everything that preceded him spiritually. And of course, if he's better than all that God initially gave, he's better than anything the world has to offer. He's better than anything the devil has to offer. He's better than anything the flesh has to offer. He's better than anything. And it's when we get that reality driven into our hearts that, you know, there's nothing that compares with Jesus. He's the greatest. He's the ultimate. He's the best. Then these other things are naturally less of an issue for us. So God help us to just keep growing in our love for Jesus and our understanding of his greatness and of his glory.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD and CD set titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. Whether you're married or single, this DVD and CD set teaches essential biblical principles for a fresh and fruitful marriage relationship. Learn how to encourage, esteem, and enjoy one another in marriage in this delightful DVD and CD as Pastor Brian and Cheryl share about their own personal experiences in marriage. The DVD and CD set is titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson, and it's our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk to order this DVD and CD set titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD by Pastor Brian and Cheryl as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.